is good. He is good all the time. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open, it's the book of Joel. Now, if you've been listening most of this week, as we've gone through the first chapter and most of the second chapter of Joel, this is a little book. It's only three chapters. You can read it in a few minutes, but it's just filled with jewels. It's one of the most quoted books in the Old Testament, and it's wonderful. If you've been listening, you're aware that we talked about some pretty down stuff, like repentance and God is ticked, and the land is barren, and the water is dried up, and even the cows are mourning, and God is calling for repentance. Now, we did say that repentance is a good thing, not a bad thing, and that's where you find freedom, and you learn how to dance, and you learn how to sing. But let me show you something as we continue with our study of Joel as a part of our Old Testament survey. Joel 2, 12 through 17. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he, here it comes, is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great. And the Hebrew words means really, really big kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows, and this is Joel's editorial comment, if he will turn and relent and have a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Here comes, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Don't give your heritage a reproach that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is your God? Now, I want you to know that Joel is doing here what I often do, and some of you get angry. I say, if you go to God, you'll find that he's not angry. If you're a Christian, he's never angry because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness. He is merciful all the time. He's good all the time. He's gracious all the time. He's loving all the time because you have in your account the righteousness of Christ. Now I say to pagans and unbelievers, if you'll go to him on the basis of Christ, he won't be angry at you either. I said that, I maybe told you, at a place I was teaching the Bible in the church not too long ago. And during the question and answer period at the end, a guy raised his hand. He said, I don't like that. And I said, well, that's your problem. Deal with it. He said, no, I don't like it because I want God to be angry. And I said, well, that's cool. If that's what, I mean, you're kind of funny. But if that's what he said, no, you don't understand. When I know that God's angry, I'm better. And I said, let me tell you something, just so you know that I said it publicly. Anger of God isn't going to keep you straight long enough. And if you listen to what I've taught you tonight, then you'll be thankful I taught it to you when you can no longer stand living with a God who is angry at what you've done. In The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis, and you remember, as people move toward hell, they become less and less. As they move toward heaven, they become more real. Ghost was being invited to move from hell into heaven, and he kept foolishly insisting that he wanted his rights because he had led a good life. I'm not asking for anybody's charity, he declared. His heavenly friend seized upon that and begged him indeed to ask for charity. Everything is here for the asking, and nothing can be bought. Now, let me tell you something. If you aren't willing to accept charity, you're simply not going to make it. If you aren't willing to accept charity, you will never make it. Somebody said, I don't like Steve Brown because he teaches cheap grace. But if it weren't cheap, you couldn't afford it. In fact, if there were anything but free, you couldn't afford it. We don't like to do that. I mean, we want to earn our way. We're, after all, Americans or Canadians. And we're used to working hard. And if you work hard, you get what you want. Because that's the nature of the universe. But it's not the nature of God. He brings us to the point where we have failed miserably, where our sin is overwhelming, where we know we can't do anything, and we go to Him and we accept His charity. You know, I love Bill Bright. Bill Bright is going through a very difficult physical time right now. And he told a friend of mine, he had an oxygen mask on, and he was sitting in the narthex of the church where they both attend. My friend said to Dr. Bright, Bill, how you doing? And he took the oxygen mask off, and he said, you know, Sherry, I've never been as close to Jesus as I am right now. Bill Bright has always blown me away with his graciousness and his kindness and his faithfulness. I remember one time I was speaking for an executive seminar in Colorado Springs at the Broadmoor, and I was, you know, at some kind of hotel. It's the kind of place that I don't get to very often. And I got off the bus from the airport, and Bill Bright was standing there, and I had my suitcases in my hands, and he took them out of my hands and started carrying them in. And I said, Dr. Bright, it will be cold in a hot place where you carry my suitcases. And he said, tough. And he kept carrying them. And I ran and grabbed them and pulled them. And if you had been at the Broadmoor then, you would have seen two guys pulling on suitcases, getting into a fight over who was going to carry them. I just didn't want to accept that kind of charity from that kind of man. I ought to be polishing his shoes, washing his feet, and carrying his suitcases, not the other way around. Well, it's that way with God, in a macrocosmic way. God gives us everything because we don't have anything. He who was rich became poor, that by his poverty we might become rich. We start poor, and if we get anything, anytime, any place, it's simply because of charity. And so what the prophet Joel, speaking for God, says, go to him. Go to him now. You don't have anything. Go to him, and he's good. He's good all the time. Salvation is by faith in Christ and by grace alone. So is everything else. Now look at Joel 2:19 through 27. This is God's action in the restoration of the land. Now, I'm not going to have time to go into this in detail, but I'll talk a little bit more about it on Monday. Tomorrow, Pete will be in. But look at the 19th verse. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive them away. And then down at the 21st verse, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Don't be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion. I will restore you the years the swarming locust has eaten. And but the whole movement of those verses is that God's concerned with the environment. You say, wait just a second, Steve. You're not going to become a tree hugger on me here, are you? No, but it's very important that Christians, especially evangelical Christians, recognize that we were called to be stewards of the land. And there is a sense, and I'm going to teach you something about this on Monday when we talk about the land, there is a sense that that is one of the primary callings of human beings. Genesis 3, 17 through 19, there are three curses, you'll remember, occurred as a result of the fall. The one for Adam reads, and to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. It's the first time a guy got punished for listening to his wife, man. It's usually the other way around. And if eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So there's something wrong with you, but there's something wrong with the trees and the birds and the mountains and the water. The land has fallen. And one of the great things that you hear in the book of Romans is that all of the creation, the cosmos, awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Why is that? Because then the land will be restored. Meanwhile, we're to do the best we can with what we've got. We're not called to worship the world or the land or the environment. Garrison Keillor said that the New Age was a plot by the religious right to make liberals look dumb. Listen, you're not called to worship it. You're called to be a steward over it. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, the second of the booklets on the Old Testament survey are off the press. I'd love to send it to you free. And if we had, as long as supplies last, and if we had some of the first part and you didn't get that one, if you'll ask, we'll try to get that to you. This one's from Job to Jeremiah. It's the second of three booklets to cover some of the things that I've been covering in this Old Testament survey to help you understand the Old Testament. Let us know. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And these booklets are free, and I really mean that. But if you could help us financially, I really mean that, too. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. This is a very extensive ministry, and very few people are able to help us financially. So when you help us, you help your brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, for any contribution of any size, when you request it as my thank you, I'll send along the cassette teaching Checking Inside. 6 questions to ask yourself about your relationship with God. And oh yes, would you give us the call letters of this station whenever you write or call Key Life? I would appreciate it. And one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.